All right, how we doing this morning? Come on. I know we got like 13 people in here, but you don't have to sound like it. How we doing? All right. Today, just in my intro, I was kind of thinking, you know, I got one of those Will Doss text messages, by the way, you're doing the Welcome Sunday. I was like, wow, all right. But I was thinking about this year, you know, our theme of launch 2015, and we've doing some really big things around here, a lot of changes that we've made. First Wednesday, Sunday services for the youth, a lot of really big things. And it's amazing how what goes on at church finds its way into your everyday life. Chad, still considered a newlywed, and my wife works all the time, so I find myself with him. And we were going around Dollar Tree or whatever it's called. And this kid has a special talent for finding the toy section. I promise you, if we were in a funeral home, he'd find the toy section in there somewhere. So he drags me down this aisle, and he picks up this thing. It's called a foot rocket. A foot rocket? What is this? It's $2. You know what? Let's get two of them. Take it home. We're driving. He's excited. I'm excited. We get home. We put it out in the yard. It's all right, Chad. You're supposed to stomp on this, and it's going to shoot in the sky. He said, all right. He runs up to it, and he goes, and it goes, all right, try it again. Put it on. He goes, got like 8 inches of air. So, all right, let me try it. Put mine up. 11 inches of air. Like, oh my God. And I'm sitting there and I'm stomping it. And I look at him and he's just staring at me. So I start staring at him. He's staring at me. I'm staring at him. I said, oh my God, how am I going to make this up to him? This huge disappointment. How am I going to make this up to this kid? And he looked at me and he goes, oh my God, that was amazing. Let's do it again. So we're sitting out in the yard getting this consistent 8 inches of air for 2 hours. And the story, you know, the message in that for me was that while we're doing a lot of big things, we can't overlook the small launches. We can't overlook what those things mean to other people. So there are a lot of big changes going around Eagles Way, but I'm seeing a lot of small changes, not just in the church, but in individuals that I think are really affecting the culture and complexion of this church. So while we're making really big changes this year, I want to encourage each and every one of you, don't overlook the small things, because they could mean a lot to somebody. I want to welcome you all to Eagles Way Church, and let's get ready for this amazing worship experience. Amen. Thank you.
escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You see, we can't escape from his presence. No matter what you're going through, no matter what disappointment, no matter what heartache, the good, the bad, you can't escape. Wherever you go, he is there. And I know, and sometimes when the weeks get so busy and they get so full of stuff, good stuff, hard stuff, bad stuff, it's easy to forget. But with that one remembrance of his presence is always with us. He is always near, and it's so good to know that we can always just tap into that and know that he is within us, and that we can just call out to him, we can thank him, we can ask him, we can pray, and we can just thank him, Father. We thank you, Lord Father. We thank you, Jesus. I see the cloud. Step in. I want to see your glory like Moses did. Flashes of light and rolls of thunder. Show me your glory. because you're true. To be in your presence. Thank you, Father, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord.
Sometimes every one of us feels like we'll never be here. Sometimes every one of us aches like we'll never be saved. Sometimes when we've given up, let your healing come till you're rising up. Let your healing come when there's nothing left. Let your healing come. Let your love that we adore, it's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you, we're lost in you. And it's your love that we adore, it's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you, we're lost in you. Sometimes it's like we'll never return for all the love we've known. Sometimes, like in a smile or a song, when you feel love come and that feeling is gone, it flies. Your healing come till we're rising up. Let your healing come. Where you go, we will follow. Where you go.
we will not share details. Just had a situation happen last night that where we had to release some forgiveness, and it was a great learning experience, I know, for Anna, where we were able to teach her about forgiveness and releasing someone who's hurt you. And we were singing this song in rehearsal, and God just reminded me that in as much as that body and blood is for me, and I'm so thankful for it, that it's for everyone, that it's for every single person, it's for those that don't even know or see their need for Him, it's still there for them. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful always so thankful that He cleanses me. And aren't we all so thankful that He cleanses us and makes us whole and calls us righteous? But it's so beautiful when we can see it for someone else who may not see their need for it, but it's there for them. And to be able to release that and to release forgiveness and set them free and put them in a position for them to be able to say these words, for that person to say, thank you for the body. Thank you for the blood. Amen.
You have fed us with the body. We were sinners and unworthy of the mercy you've shown.
I'm going to get it together right here.
You have fed us with the body and the blood of your Son while we were sinners and unworthy of the mercy you've shown. Thank you for saving us, thank you for saving us, for saving us.
thank you, Father, Lord, that you have made us whole, that you have made us righteous. I thank you, Father, Lord, that in as much, Lord, as you have forgiven us, that, Father, that we are able to forgive others, to release them, so that they can come into the fullness and the knowledge of who you are. We thank you, Father, Lord, that we are not what other people say about us, Father, but you say that we are who you say we are, and you've called us righteous, you've called us whole, you've called us your friend. And Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we give this day to you. And everyone says, amen.
Taking my drums away. I didn't see you here. You came in late, snuck in on me. How's everybody? Oh, good. Got a smile on your face no matter what happened yesterday? Oh, come on now. Life's bigger than that. Oh. But Ref, you may have to come up and talk. We'll see how good you really are. We got two more weeks. I'm 2 weeks ahead. I'm having a hard time finishing out this series because I've got a series coming up in 2 weeks that I'm so excited about that I'm having a hard time focusing on this one. But I'm going to finish up a little bit today, and Dr. Raff's going to finish up next Sunday for me. But, you know, there are things in life that we put value on. And the value that we put on them determines really our commitment to it. The value of a relationship depends on the, brings the commitment to it. Things that you really value, you take care of. You treasure them. And this is what this first value talks about. And the scripture says in Matthew 6:19, and there's no PowerPoint this morning, so if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, or your iPhone, or iPad, or you can just sit there and look at me and listen. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat and the rust destroys them, and where the thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there, now notice what it says here, the desires of your heart will also be. Now, I've read this scripture many, many times, and it's the first time this week I ever saw, you know, Old King James says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But the real translation is, where your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be. Wow. The desires of your heart are going to be where your treasure is. Your desires. And it says, you know, the first thing I want to talk about, we need to value today is our contentment. Value contentment. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in, whether I'm bounding or where I'm not, I've learned to be content. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6-10, yet true godliness with contentment in itself is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let's be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. In Philippians 4:11, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. these two passages of Scripture I just read, the contentment is the key word, but Paul is talking about one thing and Jesus is talking about another. Paul is talking about money. Jesus is not talking about money. He's not talking about laying up treasures. You know, I used to hear guys preaching, they go, you know, when we give to God and we're sending up materials to build our mansions in heaven. That sounds good, but that's kind of ridiculous. Our treasure is what we really treasure in our heart. I want to tell you a story that's not going to mean as much to you as it means to me because of how and what happened. But 2 weeks ago, I was in the line to pick up John Henry. And I was just sitting there, and I got there. I always get there early enough to, I want to be up front. And so I wait a long time. So I had about 30 to 40 minutes to wait on John Henry to get out of school. And when I did, I started meditating about some things, and God just started pouring stuff. I mean, stuff just started pouring from my spirit. And I opened the glove compartment. I found a pen, and I was looking for a piece of paper, and I couldn't find any paper. And finally, I saw this one piece of paper that was folded over, and I took it out. And for the next 30 minutes, I just wrote. And God gave me this series, God has a plan, we have a part, patience is the key. God has a plan, we have a part, patience is the key. And I was just writing. I just got this paper, got to my office the next day, took out that paper, and wrote my first message on it. And after I got through, I opened it up. And when I opened it up, it was a bill for $3,800 I had to pay on a new transmission the first of the year. And what hit me, I remembered what happened when I was going down the road. And you know, sometimes I've had a transmission go out before, but it lasts a long time. You know, you kind of get the skips, but it lasts a while. But man, this time, it just set me down. It just, boom, broke. And I was sitting there in the car, and one of Ralph's phrases came to me, nothing goes wrong in my world. And I had to decide what attitude I was going to have about that moment. And before I did anything, I sat there and I began to thank God. I began to praise the Lord for my life. I said, I thank you for everything I have. And I just thank you. And so I called Barbara and I said, I'm going to be a while. The Lexus is broken down and the transmission's gone. Oh no, it's going to cost so much money. I said, no. The Lexus is broke. I'm not broke. My transmission's not out. I'm whole. I'm well. I'm happy. I got great relationships. I got a great life. I got a great wife. I got great friends. That's a true treasure. That's a true treasure. But when I do this first message, I know I'm building this thing up and I better come across, but when I do this first message, you're going to say, thank God his transmission broke down. And he had a paper to write on because there wasn't anything in that car to write on but that bill. And I said, Lord, thank you. How many believe that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose? It doesn't matter what it is, what happens, everything works together for good. You see, the treasure, and the treasure is not way, 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 way up in heaven. Heaven is a realm. It's a lifestyle. The heaven, in Colossians 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things. And then he goes on to say, here's what you need to do. There are things on this side of heaven. And all it's, you know, heaven's just a step away. Heaven's just a thought away. Heaven's just an attitude away. We're seated together with him in heavenly places. And we determine with everything that goes on in our life how we're going to handle it, how we're going to deal with it. And if our treasure's right, The desire of our heart will be right. If we treasure God's ways, the desire of our heart will be to do His ways. If we really treasure what He says, then we'll take what He says and put it in operation. And when things go awry in our life, we will not turn the other way and do it the world's way and the flesh way, but we'll turn to the Spirit and say, what would God do? What would Christ do? What's the word of the Lord say that I do in this situation? Do I worship Him? Do I praise Him? What am I going to do at this moment? And it works. Forgiveness works. It releases you. It frees you up. Prayer works. Thanksgiving works. Honoring God works. Worshiping God works. Giving to God works. And all it is I have to change my attitude. Am I in a heavenly place? Am I going to sit with Him in heavenly places? Or am I going to sit in the seat of the scornful? Wow. I'm sitting in one place or the other. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, when I read that scripture and thought about this scripture a long, long time ago, I saw one word in there that changed the whole reference point of that psalm. He didn't say, blessed is a man who's under the law. He said, blessed is man who's in the law. Aren't you glad you're in it? Aren't you glad that you're in the kingdom? Aren't you glad that he's written His laws, not on tablets of hard stone, but on the tablets of your heart? And because if they're on the tablets of your heart, then the desire of your heart is to do the will of God. See the difference? It's not some tablet, hard stone I'm looking at. I'm looking at my heart, that God has changed my heart. So he says, value what you really ought to value. Your treasures is kindness. You know, when Jesus wrote this, said this, he's saying it to some people who, the moment he said this, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You know what would be the first thought to the Jew? Kindness.
Yes, sir.
That would be their first thought. It would have nothing to do with money, nothing else. All it would have to do with is kindness, because they thought that the greatest thing, the greatest way to lay up a treasure was to be kind. For every kindness that you do, you're laying up a treasure in heaven, where we walk in today to receive what God has for us today. Next thing he says, this is, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body's filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one, despised by the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What's he saying? The lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is good, if the eye is good, that word good comes from a Greek word, hoplates, which means this, generous view. A generous view. If I have a generous view of others, we'll see what we ought to see. You see, we talk about being generous with our money or being generous with this or that. How about being generous with our time? How about being generous with how we view others? My daddy used to tell the story, and I think I've told it before, but I remember hearing him tell this story so many times, that this lady lived next door to another lady, and she has a kitchen, and she always looked out the window, and she saw her neighbor hanging her clothes on the clothesline. And she would look out there and say, her clothes are still so dirty. She needs to do something. That she's not cleaning her clothes. And months later, she washes her window. And says, wow, the neighbor finally cleaned up, got her clothes clean. No, she got her window clean. How we view others. Are we generous? Here's some things that can cause our vision not to be too good, not being generous about it. How about prejudice? Prejudging a situation, a circumstance, or a person before you ever even know them. Jealousy. You see what you are. We see what we are. We need to be generous in how we view other people. Some of the greatest words you'll find in the scripture is the word generous. Then he goes on to say, now, if your eye is good or generous, you're full of light. But if your eye is evil or bad, and that's a Greek word, and you know what that word means? Grudgingly. Grudgingly. You know, Paul said, when you give, give generous. Give cheerfully. Give hilariously. Not begrudgingly. Proverbs said, don't sit at a table and eat with a man who is stingy. And what he's saying is, don't sit at a table and eat a man's food, and every time you take a bite, he is begrudgingly looking at you. You are eating my food. You are taking away from me. He says, don't eat with somebody who doesn't really want you to eat with them. Don't go through life grudging everything you do. I remember when I used to have a job. I absolutely hated it. I have to admit, I hated it. I hated this job. I was a milkman. And Barbara got pregnant by the milkman. So I was a milkman. And I had to be there at 4:30 in the morning. I'll finish that story in a moment why she got pregnant by a milkman. I was 4:30 in the morning loading up this milk truck. And, man, it was then going to all these different stores. I had to clean out the milk container, then put the milk in. I mean, it was a hard, hard, laborious job. And one day I go to this big grocery store, and I go in, and I'm standing there waiting on him to tell me what he wants to get his order. And he was just one of these guys. He was just, I can't say right here what he was, but he was one of them. If you know what I'm saying, he was one of them. And he just sits there, and he's just looking at me like, and just would not, and I stood there for 30 minutes, and he would not take my order or give me his order. So I got in the truck and left. And this was a big Kroger grocery store. Well, I go home. Get up the next morning, I go to work, and I get there, and they meet me, the boss and the supervisor. I mean, that morning, they meet me at my car and says, sorry, Buren, but you don't have a job here anymore. And I said, why? He said, you left a store yesterday and would not take an order. Now, I started to give them my speech and why I did that, but I was so glad that I was fired, that all I could do was just thank God and leave him there going, I don't have to do this anymore. So I go home, and I walk in the door, and Barbara's, what's wrong? I said, I got fired. She said, and then she burst into tears. I said, I'm fine, I'm fine. She said, I'm pregnant. True story. She was going to tell me that she said, I'm pregnant. I think she really thought she was pregnant. You know, she found out later she was for sure, but she said, I'm pregnant. And so I said, well, you got pregnant by the milkman anyway. So anyway, I was grateful and thankful. And 2 days later, I'm eating dinner with my mom and dad, and an insurance man walks in, and he realized I don't have a job. He said, you want a job? I said, yeah, I guess I need one. I got a kid coming now. So I get another job that was the easiest, best job I'd ever had in my life, except for this one. And I just thank God, thank God, thank God. Find contentment in everything you do, and be generous in everything you do. Finally, Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, enough clothing to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. I got a critical point to tell you about this. I just thought about it the other day. He says, you know, if you went to somebody, I would just want somebody that came to counsel with me and go, Pastor Beard, I ain't got anything. I got no money. I got no clothes. What if I said, look at the birds? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to you, to your life? Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Now, think about it for a moment. We know he's saying he created these birds. Well, who else did he create? Us. Us. And so what he's saying is this: if I take care of them, I take care of you. That's a simple, profound truth, but it's so profound. If I'm going to take care of the birds, I'm going to take care of you. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for the day. Don't worry. Why? You can't make your situation better by worrying. Right? You know, how many has ever seen circumstances and situations when you ask the question, why? Why? Why did this happen to this person? Why did this happen to this person? I finally, I think, got an answer for that. When people say, why God? What if? In a bad, bad circumstance and situation, you said, God, why? And God told you why. Wow. Would you really want to know? Would that really help the situation? I guarantee you it would make it twice as bad if you gave you a reason why, because there's no reason why that could possibly satisfy you or me. God doesn't always give the details about how he's going to help you through it. God told Abraham, leave your country. Where am I going? I'll show you. And that's why we go to Abraham. We always look at the father of our faith. Where are we headed? He'll show us. He'll show us where we're headed. And we're always more valuable than birds. Most of you know my story. But every time I read that, I can't help but remember how all my worrying and all my fretting was for naught. I was coming up, I love sports, I love baseball, and I was really good at baseball. And that's what I wanted to be, was a Major League Baseball player. Once I got through Babe Ruth, I got out of Little League, I didn't grow anymore. I played 3 years of Babe Ruth, and I was the same height and same size I was at 12. In the 10th grade, in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, just a little bitty thing, I was 5'4". When I turned 16, I sat on pillows to see over the steering wheel. I don't know if you remember the old cars. Steering wheels was this big around. You remember that? Well, the cars we had, first car I had was a 1960 Falcon station wagon. And when you sat down in the seat, it just went on down with you. And when it did, here's a steering wheel up here. And so I had to get pillows and sit on the seat over the steering wheel. When I turned 16 and Daddy bought my first car, I had to find a car that the steering wheel I could see over, because I could not drive around and go pick up a girl sitting on a pillow. Just didn't seem like the thing to do. I would pray every night, God, please let me grow. Please, God, let me grow. I would never curl up. I lay flat and straight. I'd sleep just like this because I didn't. If God was going to make me grow, I didn't want no hindrances, just grow. Every morning I got up, when I would put on my pants, I would hope and pray they were a little shorter. Or I'd put on my shirt, I'd hope and pray the sleeves were a little shorter. And they never were. And I fretted and I worried and I fretted. And I, finally, I got out of the 11th grade. That beginning of that summer in June of the 11th grade, I was 5'4". 5'4". I stopped praying. I just had said, I'd given up. I've stopped praying. I started growing. All my fretting and my worrying did nothing. But I stopped praying and fretting and worrying and started growing. Growing at a pace that my mother would have to come in my bedroom at night and rub my legs from the growing pains so I could go to sleep. It wasn't every night, but it was a lot of nights. I know a lot of nights she had to rub my legs to go to sleep. When I graduated, 1 year later, I was 5'11". I grew 7 inches in 1 year. My buddies would call my you know, when you're that small, you got the nickname, hey, Pee-wee. In other names, Squirt, Shorty, just all these names. And they called me that all the way through the 12th grade. And finally, one day a guy walked up to me, and we're the same height. And I'll never forget it. He said, hey, Pee-wee. I said, who you calling Pee-wee? I'm as tall as you are. And he looked at me and says, you are? What happened? He was still seeing me a different light. It took him a while to see. Pee-wee wasn't Pee-wee anymore. But all my fretting and all my worry had nothing to do with it. And I think this morning, there's some people here that you're fretting and you're worrying over something that you have absolutely no control over. And your Heavenly Father is saying, look at the birds. I take care of them. I'll take care of you. I got this person through this situation. I'll get you through it. I got this couple through this situation. I'll get you through it. He loves us more than the birds of the air. And he said in one place, and not a sparrow falls from the heavens that he didn't know about. Then he says something that is so awesome. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Wow. Wow. All these hairs. And Keith, it wouldn't be difficult for you. I know that doesn't mean a lot. But Keith said, I number those myself. But he says, your hairs are numbered. What he, all he's saying, he's given us the most powerful illustrative thing he can do to just let you see and let you know how much he cares about you. Dusty read that scripture. I was thinking about it. This passage, this morning, he's reading that scripture. Where can I go from his presence? Where can I go? Every day of my life was laid out as a book. He'd already written it. He'd already written it. And all he says, I've got a plan. And you got a part. And patience is the key. I want the band to come up and play real softly. And we're going to do communion in a moment. But I want to jump ahead for just a moment. God's got a plan. I got a part. Patience the key. When you see the word patience in the scripture, patience is not this laid back, relaxed, don't care attitude. It's perseverance. It's persevering anyway. In the play that Anna's in, there's a statement that Atticus makes when he says, courage is when you go into a situation and you're already licked, but you do it anyway. You do it anyway. It's persevering. And when this message came to me, I started thinking about from Genesis to Revelation. Listen, from Genesis to Revelation, when every situation, from Abraham to John the Revelator, you know what happened? Every one of them, every story is the same. Every single story is the same. God's got a plan for you. You got a part to play. Perseverance is the key. Through faith and perseverance, they inherited the promises. Abraham, you're going to have a son. I'm going to give you a son. You're 75 years old. I'm going to give you a son. At 85 years old, he didn't have a son. She thought she'd go another way. So she says to Abraham, Abraham, why don't you want to sleep with my maiden? What? Sure. Guess so, yeah. Trying to not person. He was 85 then. And God still promises Abraham, you're going to have a son. 15 years later, guess what? He had a son. He persevered. Wherever you are right now, whatever's going on, if you'll just lay it down and say, you know what, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. I'm going to cast all my worries upon him because he cares for me. He cares for me. When I was a little boy, my daddy lost a job. Daddy worked for the mills, and the mills back then pretty much run this city. And Daddy was starting a union, and that wasn't going to work, so he got fired. And Daddy got fired, and he was out of work for about a year. And I fretted and worried. I cried, and I'll never forget my daddy. Never, ever, ever forget him. Daddy sat me down, and he sat there for, I know, 15 minutes and looked at me and promised me, you never have to worry about clothing. You never have to worry about food. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. And you know what? It just settled in my heart and my soul because he's my daddy. And when Daddy told me he was going to take care of me, I didn't fret any more about it. I didn't shed another tear when Daddy said he was going to take care of me. And we never went without a whole year. We'd come home from church and there would be groceries on the table. Envelopes with money put in it for a whole year. And you know what happened? You know what it did to this? Not just what Daddy said to me that just relieved all the frets and all the worries. You know what it did to a little boy who walks in a kitchen and there's groceries there that weren't there when he left? You know what that does to their faith? And so what looked like was going to be such a horrible thing put in me something as a little boy that I'm standing here preaching to you today about and saying to you, you don't have to worry. Because there's a greater Father than the Father you have on earth, and that's your Heavenly Father. And if your earthly Father can give good gifts to you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give? Isn't that what he said? He's a good, good God. So let's stand, and when the elders are going to come, we're going to take communion together. And we'll receive this body. If he'll do this for us, how many knows he'll do anything for us? If he'll do this for us, he'll do anything for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to do something that's very unique. This is represents Jet, Christ's body. And I'm going to give you a little secret. If you'll break it in half and not try to put all of it in your mouth, you'll be glad that you did that. All the kids get me all the time. Why don't you get something that tastes better? I mean, he'll do this for us. What won't he do? What won't he do? Eat in remembrance of that. And this is his blood that he shed so that we can know each and every moment and every day of our life, our past, our present, and our future sins are covered under the blood. He has already forgiven you before you even ask him to forgive you. It's called unilateral forgiveness. It's called covenant forgiveness. It's saying, I'll do my part and I will be faithful even when you're not faithful. So ushers are coming and we worship with our giving. I want you to, you're here, and there's been some fretting and some worrying. As they just sing this song and we give to the Lord, just let grace rise up in you. Let grace settle in you. Let peace settle in you. Let the fretting and the worrying that you're doing become a reality to you that this is not going to help one iota. None of my fretting is going to help. None of my worrying is going to help. Just let him give total peace to you. This Wednesday night is our first Wednesday service. Joey Grubbs is going to be speaking, sharing. Dr. Rapp's going to be here helping out. So we encourage you to be here. Lord, I bless this congregation today. I bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding settles in their hearts and that they come to a realization that they can stop fretting and they can stop worrying. You got this thing under control. And we praise you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.
You have fed us with the body and the blood of your Son while we were sinners and unworthy of the mercy you've shown. Saving us.